You've reached low orbit.
Welcome to the Low Orbit Audio Program. This is Issue 2, Chaotic Good. Side 1 of this tape features Coyote Call from Phil Corbett and Pineapple Upside Down Cake from Emma Lehman. Please enjoy and be sure to stay tuned to the very end of the tape for a full list of credits.
The coyote is one of the few mammals which can operate both in packs and alone. One of the other few mammals with this ability is humans, who about 150 years ago invented the telephone.
Hey, Phil, this is Skip Donahue, and this is my entrance for the Coyote Call competition.
Nice. Some great musicality, in key, some good jumps in register. Pro. Next we have Rachel.
This is Rachel. Oh!
Oof, that is a good one. Jumping register, a solitary coyote in the night, the phone line breaking to signify loneliness. Excellent work. Next, we have Adrian.
Adrian.
I am Coyote!
Interesting form, translating to English. Now we have our first canine entry from Eugen.
This is Eugen.
Gotta hand it to that dog. She's got the moves, but does she have the gumption? Next, speaking of gumption.
Hi, this is Intelligent Steel from Silver Lake, Los Angeles, and we're gonna do this Coyote Call business. Let's go.
An entire pack of coyotes in fusion mode, yipping up a storm. Let's just hope they are social distancing. And that brings us to our last finalist, Frank.
Hey, this is Frank. Some of you might know me as Grandpa, but here's my howl. Howl! Thank you.
Grandpa Frank with some great resonance. All right, well, this has been a hard decision, and I truly believe that anybody who called my voicemail to howl like a coyote is a winner, cosmically speaking. But for the purposes of this contest, I have narrowed it down. First, an honorable mention goes to the pack from Silver Lake, Los Angeles, with an incredible show of force. However, I could not understand the name given in the beginning, so disqualified from the finals. I am sorry. So it comes down to two. First, Rachel.
Oh!
and Frank.
Help! 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 Help!
And the winner of the Wind inaugural coyote calling contest is... Rachel. Thank you for playing. You have won the only prize fit for a coyote, a chicken. I'll text you shortly.
Today I made my friend Crystal a pineapple upside-down cake. I've never made pineapple upside-down cake. I've never had pineapple upside-down cake, at least not as far as I can remember.
For the topping you will need 4 tablespoons of unsalted
butter. It's one of the rare things that you, or at least I, cannot find anywhere. In a world that has Oreo-flavored Coca-Cola and pizza-flavored goldfish, I've never been able to locate a pre-made pineapple upside-down cake.
1 20-ounce can of pineapple slices.
But Crystal loves pineapple upside-down cake.
Drained and patted dry.
In fact, it's one of the rare specific foods that she likes. Crystal is like me. We decide where we want to eat based on how the interior of the restaurant makes us feel or the smell of the hand soap in their bathrooms. The food, if edible, is immaterial.
Del Monte is the best as the rings are slightly smaller.
So, armed with a recipe that someone on Reddit claimed was their grandma's, I walked down to the grocery store where I discovered that a 6-ounce jar of maraschino cherries is only $2.
14 or 15 Luxardo cherries.
The recipe calls for Luxardo cherries, but frankly, I don't know what the hell that is, and neither did the guy at Food for Less. Now, a pineapple upside-down cake is a labor of love.
For the cake batter, you will need...
Before you even get to the part where it's upside-down, you have to separate the eggs. Which doesn't make sense to me, because you end up adding both the yolk and the white back into the same bowl anyways. But Crystal loves pineapple upside-down cake.
2 tablespoons of baking powder.
And I love Crystal.
1/4 teaspoon of salt.
I love a lot of people, actually.
1/2 cup of unsalted butter at room temperature.
Sometimes I think it's a flaw of mine. I have this overwhelming, sometimes crippling, adoration for the people in my life that I can never effectively put into words. And I write words for a living.
1 teaspoon of pure vanilla extract.
Every single day, these people I love make my life so much more beautiful. They text me good morning on their way to work when I, as a remotely employed freelancer, am only beginning to drag myself out of bed. They let me know when there's a sale on my favorite basic solid color rib tank tops at Target. They buy me 3 of them and refuse to let me pay them back.
2 large eggs, separated.
They move across the country or the world and still send me little packages, triple wrapped in packing tape and full of melty kiss chocolates or novelty patterned socks. They comfort me when I have a panic attack in the middle of the pharmacy for absolutely no discernible reason.
1/2 cup of 2% milk at room temperature.
They take time out of their days to remind me that I'm capable, beautiful, or otherwise valuable in a way that I don't quite agree with, but appreciate nonetheless.
1/4 teaspoon cream of tartar.
They hold me when I cry.
Preheat your oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit and place rack in the center of the oven.
So I do things like making them an entire 9x13 pan of pineapple upside down cake on a random Thursday afternoon. I do things like separating eggs and then recombining them into the same batter in a maddeningly redundant process that I'm pretty sure this anonymous internet grandma just wrote into the recipe to make herself look more impressive.
Place the butter and brown sugar in a small saucepan.
Things like flipping a sheet pan of very heavy, very wet cake onto a cutting board, glazing the top of the cake with a reserved pineapple mixture from step 3, and flipping it back into the pan.
Continue cooking, without stirring, for a few more minutes or until the bubbles start to appear.
I don't have the culinary skill to bake into a cake the dizzying, enormous love that I receive every day from people I absolutely do not deserve to know.
The sugar is caramelizing.
These people who would plant a field of pineapple tops and wait 3 years for them to ripen, then pick them from the ground and slice them into neat circles with the cores cut out, arrange them into a geometric pattern and expertly caramelize them into a moist crumb cake made with type 55 flour.
Remove from heat and pour into your prepared cake pan,
which Food for Less also does not carry.
Evenly arrange the pineapple slices on the top
to present to me in a gift wrap box.
Placing a Luxardo cherry in the center of each pineapple slice.
These people for whom all I can do is buy a 20-ounce can of store-brand sliced pineapple and spread it across the bottom of a disposable roaster pan.
In a large bowl, sift or whisk together the flour, baking powder, and salt.
These people whose unwavering support has saved me from others and myself more times than I can count, whose presence in my life has shaped me into a version of myself that for once may have more good qualities than bad.
In the bowl of your electric stand mixer.
These people to whom I feel that I owe every breath I take, to whom I dedicate every beat of my heart.
Fitted with the paddle attachment.
I could buy the entirety of the Dole Corporation and it would still never be enough.
Beat the butter, sugar, and vanilla extract until light and fluffy.
So tonight, I will present to one person of many, whom I love and cherish so deeply that it hurts, a 9x13 pan of pineapple upside-down cake.
Scrape down the sides and bottom of the bowl as needed.
I followed the recipe as best I could. I used the good vanilla that my grandpa once recommended. I used the dark brown sugar, and I cut up the extra pineapple rings to arrange around the edges so no slice is less pineapple-y than another.
Separate the egg yolks from the egg whites.
And still, the pineapple is canned. The cherries are Kroger, not Luxardo. The flour is bleached all purpose.
Separate the egg yolks from the egg whites.
But I will hope that somewhere in this slightly underbaked attempt at culinary wish fulfillment,
add the egg yolks into the cake batter and beat until incorporated.
Crystal can find a taste of the love that I have for her.
Add the flour mixture in 3 additions, alternatively with the milk in 2 additions.
And then tomorrow I will make another person another cake.
Ending with the dry ingredients. The batter will be thick.
Something strangely specific, like Persian pistachio or lotus paste egg yolk.
Pour the batter into the cake pan, smoothing the top with the back of a spoon or an offset spatula.
Something from your childhood.
Bake in a preheated oven for 35 to 45 minutes.
Something they can't find anywhere, no matter how hard they look.
Carefully invert the cake onto your serving plate.
Because maybe if I work my way through enough disposable pans
and leave the tray over the cake,
I can someday express to all of them the same unconditional love that they show me every day.
For at least 5 minutes to allow the butter mixture to fall over the cake. Serve warm.
Welcome to Side 2 of Chaotic Good. Here you'll find 1-900 Dial-A-Joke by Ethan Oberman and Ramoy Phillip, and audio postcard number 2 from Megan Hattie Stahl. Enjoy.
Hi, you've reached 1-900 Dial-A-Joke. Would you like a knock-knock, one-liner, or other?
Would you like to smell my butt?
That's not how this works. Would you like a knock-knock, one-liner, or other?
Yeah, I'd like to knock-knock your mom.
Would you like a knock-knock?
Ugh, this has to be AI.
One-liner.
Yeah, it's not reacting at all.
I'm hearing knock-knock, Joe. Hi, 1-900-Dial-A-Joke. Would you like a knock-knock, one-liner, or other?
The squeaking won't stop. I think the rats are fornicating behind my sink.
Would you like a knock-knock, one-liner, or other?
I need you to send someone today.
I think you have the wrong number. I'm only trained to make people laugh.
Okay, can you transfer me to animal control?
Knock-knock joke it is. Hi, you've reached 1-900-Dial-A-Joke. Would you like a knock-knock, one-liner, or other?
Other.
I can also do limericks, Hawk 2 impersonations, or puns.
I want to be roasted.
Dial 5 to book live events.
I mean now. Roast me now.
I can't do that.
What if I Venmo you?
We're only on the blockchain. Look, getting roasted, you don't want that.
Actually, I do, because my friends and family fucking love me. Even my therapist always says he thinks I'm great, so I dare you. Take me down a peg.
It's gonna hurt.
Seriously? The hack comedian getting paid minimum wage to read bad jokes to strangers won't take a little request?
Okay, last chance.
ChatGPT is definitely funnier than you.
So, did you mean to call the suicide hotline? Because I know your therapist is afraid that if he doesn't lie to you and say that you are great, you'll kill yourself.
Damn. You weren't kidding. So how much do I owe you?
Across the St. John's Bridge, Memorial Day weekend, looking at Swan Island in the distance, and just thinking about different kinds of distance, like geographical distance and also historical or temporal difference. Is Claw City at the Lloyd Center.
How good to you? Oh, okay, loud.
If you're standing where something happened long ago, you are closer to it than if you're standing far away from where it happened long ago.
I'm not able to take a bath. I'm only able to take a slowly draining bath.
Zurückbleiben bitte.
This is a mourning dove made by a woman in Maine, in Wayne, Maine. Watching something happen now, but it's happening far away, there is also distance. So how do we make people feel close to things and places, even when they're not there in the same place or the same time? And if we're using technology to do that, how can it be minimally distracting?
Thank you.
just like before the pandemic, except worse.
Looking at Swan Island, thinking about shipyard workers in Vanport, and how if I were walking over there, I would probably feel closer to that history than I do here. But it's also, it happened long ago. Basically, long ago versus far away is something happened very, very long ago in the exact place that you are. Are you closer to it than if you are far away from something that happened very recently, or which is happening right now, and you're experiencing it via live stream, for example?
Well, that's it for issue 2 of Low Orbit, the world's only audio zine. In this issue, we first heard Coyote Call from Phil Corbett. A few years ago, radio maker Phil Corbett found a handsaw in the mountains and built a small desk out in the woods. High in the Sierra Nevada, flanked by an aspen grove and a lodgepole pine stand, this is the place where they make The Wind, a critically acclaimed podcast that investigates our relationship to place through sound. The Wind has aired nationally and internationally on 99% Invisible, Snap Judgment, and BBC's Shortcuts. For credits and more of Phil's work, you can find The Wind on your podcast app or at thewind.org. Next, we heard Pineapple Upside Down Cake by Emma Lehman. Emma is an award-winning podcast producer and investigative journalist based in Los Angeles, where she lives with her cat named Garlic. When she's not making podcasts, Emma also embroiders, roller skates, and reads very dense books for fun. We then heard 1-900-Dial-A-Joke, written, produced, and performed by Ethan Oberman and Ramoy Phillip. The piece also featured Gabby Bulgarelli, Max Gibson, and Simone Polanin. And our last feature was audio postcard number 2 from Megan Hattie Stahl. Megan is a media artist and educator based in New York City by way of Oregon and Paris. She produces place-based, multi-sensory documentaries, often investigating musical histories, realities, and possibilities. Megan loves biking around Brooklyn, eating whoopie pies, and playing with her modular synth. And finally, we had the amazing sonorous voice of Mr. Aaron Van Winkle as our taped announcer. And if you like this little show, well, there's more on the way. In 2 weeks, we'll have a brand new episode for you, but in the meantime, we have a pretty large back catalog if you're interested. And I hate to say what every single podcast says at the end of every single episode ever recorded in human history, but you should tell other people about this show. There's no such thing as organic podcast discovery, so you have to help me tell other people that this exists. You never know, they may actually like it. And I think that's all for me. I have been and will continue to be Josh Madison. I'm the producer of this little zine. If you need to reach me for any reason, just email me at josh@rocketfromearth.com. Or you can find me on Blue Sky, I guess, if you're over there. I'm at Low Orbit Podcast. Okay, goodbye.
Maybe you thought beatniks were a purely American phenomenon. Not so, as we hear in this report from Charles B. Arno, ABC, Rome.
Just 100 yards down the street from our ABC office in Rome, the summer battle has been joined between Italian police and the great vacation influx of the young bearded and unwashed ones. Three times during the past 10 days, police have swooped down on foreign beatniks and swept them off the famous Spanish steps. A dozen Germans and Frenchmen who were found to be without means of support have been ordered to leave Italy. Rome businessmen in this area claim that the growing concentration of the unwashed beatniks around the Spanish steps cost them a lot of tourist business. Rome police say the beatniks mar the beauty of the Spanish steps, one of Italy's major tourist attractions. Charles B. Arno, ABC, Rome.
Just in from Vietnam, B-52 bombers have made another airstrike on suspected North Vietnamese positions in a demilitarized zone between North and South Vietnam. No details yet.